As we begin our scripture reading for the day, and it comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem at that time. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard speaking in their native tongue of the other. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portions in heaven and above, the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we are celebrating this moment in the infancy of the church where the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples. And I think to really understand the significance and power of this historical moment, we have to step back and take a wide view of what's really happening. We have to walk it back, and then we'll walk it forward again. So in this passage, there are a handful of Christ's closest followers in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. In fact, these disciples just came from a small mountain outside of Jerusalem where they spoke with the resurrected Jesus. And while they were speaking with Jesus, he told them to wait in Jerusalem, quote, "for the promise of the Father." And now we know after reading those 21 verses that the promise was the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God. What interests me most about this and this whole timing, or of the entire moment of Pentecost, was the timing and how the Holy Spirit came to be. The disciples were in Jerusalem not only because Jesus told them to go there and wait, but because it was time for the Jews to celebrate the Festival of Weeks. The Festival of Weeks was celebrated 7 weeks, or 50 days after Passover. So for miles around, Jews from other countries would come into town, and they would celebrate, and they'd feast, and they'd eat. And so this festival, the Festival of Weeks, was a time for them to offer their first fruits, or the very first portion of their crops at this time of year. And they were to be offered to God and partied over. And so the Festival of Weeks, though, was also a celebration to commemorate, and this is key, when the Hebrew people were given the Torah. So for hundreds of generations, the Hebrew people pair a feast and a festival with remembering that they were given the law of God. So stay focused on the timing of this, because now we're going to jump back to the original story quickly. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, thousands of years ago. And in this story, like many Jewish stories, it starts with these words. The Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt. They were oppressed and they were beaten and they were stripped of their identity and calling. There was a man named Moses who came and put the blood on the door frame, Passover, and then they were freed from their slavery, and they were made an exodus from Egypt into the wilderness. God saved them. God delivered them from the hand of oppression. And while they were in the wilderness, at a place called Mount Sinai, Moses went up the mountain, and God gave him the law for the Hebrew people. These laws were called the Torah. This is what is celebrated in the Festival of Weeks, when God gave people the Torah. Now, the Torah wasn't just a bunch of rules, though. The Torah was a unique set of laws which reflected the character of the God who delivered the Hebrew people. What kind of God is our God, they could ask. And the answer, our God, is revealed in the Torah. The Torah guided how the Hebrew people lived, how they conducted themselves, how their relationships with each other were ordered, and how their relationship with God was ordered. Most importantly, the Torah redefined who they were as a people. Now, they were Hebrews, of course, but at this time in Exodus, they only knew Egyptian customs, Egyptian habits, routines, gods, and ways. They were not who they were originally called to be, so God was calling them to be something else. Something new was going to happen. They were going to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. And the Torah was going to define them and set them apart from all other people. Back to the book of Acts and Pentecost. So the book of Acts actually begins with Jesus together with his disciples. One of the disciples asks, "Are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now?" The disciple asks this for a good reason, because the Hebrew people believed that the Messiah was going to give them power again. Influential, political, king-like power. The kind that they once had thousands of years ago. And since Jesus was the Messiah, now must be the time that they were going to get that power. And so Jesus tells them, "You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll let everybody know about that power." Okay, they must think, power is coming up. So they make their way into that upstairs room in that small Jerusalem home, and they celebrate the receiving of the Torah, because that time is the Festival of Weeks, and they wait for the power Jesus talked about too. And they received the power that was promised to them. The Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire, and they were given the language to witness to this power in Jerusalem, Judea, into the ends of the earth, except it wasn't the power they thought it would be. It lacked the influential, political, king-like power that they thought. Instead, it was a power to see and act and talk as Christ would in this world. It was kind of like they ascended the steps into that upper room, much the same that Moses ascended Mount Sinai thousands of years prior. And instead of receiving the Torah, the laws which reflected the nature and likeness of God, they received the Spirit, an embodiment and acquisition of the nature and likeness of God in themselves. And just like the Torah redefined the Hebrew people at the time, the Holy Spirit redefined these Hebrew disciples of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will guide how these people live, how they conduct themselves, how they conduct their relationships with each other and with their own God. More importantly, the Holy Spirit was going to redefine who they were. They were Hebrew people, of course, but they only knew Hebrew customs, habits, routines, and ways. God was calling them to be something new. They were going to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation now. And the Holy Spirit was going to define them and set them apart from all other people. And that's why the timing of this whole thing is something worth paying attention to. Because I wonder if it was no accident that the Spirit of God was given to the people in a similar way, in the exact same time that the law of God was given. Maybe God was trying to show these Jewish men that their sacred history has everything to do with their sacred future, and why the power they were to receive would have nothing to do with ruling the world and everything to do with changing the world. The disciples weren't doing something radically new. They were just continuing the work God had been doing since the beginning, but now God was going to do it in a whole new way through them. And that new way involves all of us here and now. There is a seat saved for you in an upstairs room where you can breathe in the Spirit of God that will redefine you as a person. And the more we live by that Spirit, the more our lives reflect the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We try so hard to quantify and make sense of the Spirit by calling it the vapor to the ice and water of Jesus and the Father, but we really do a fine job of naturally living into this calling without quantifying it. You have the Spirit of your parents when you exhibit their qualities. You have the Spirit of a teacher or coach when you bend down on one knee to talk to a child that you meet for the first time. You have the Spirit of an athlete or a cook or a musician or a carpenter or a farmer based on how you interact with and view the world. And you have the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit, when you act as a living extension of Jesus Christ in this world. This is the call of the church, that we would surrender ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is why I like the idea of the church as a movement, because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it means that we are going somewhere. Together, we're becoming more like Christ so that the world can be more like the kingdom of heaven. Today, we celebrate Pentecost because God gave the Torah to a liberated Hebrew people. And we celebrate because power has given disciples in an upstairs room. And we celebrate Pentecost because the Holy Spirit leads us now to becoming who we're called to be today and into the future. Let's pray. God, it is your Spirit that we try to tune our hearts and ears into all the time, and we pray that we have the courage and confidence to live into that calling here and now and into the future. Let us know that it is us, your church, the holy nation, and the royal priesthood who will be ushering in that kingdom through you and by you as guided by your grace. In your name we pray. Amen.